Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
So let's stand in this place. Let's prepare ourselves for the word of God. The worship team, thank you. Amazing, amazing worship. Really, presence of God, so beautiful in this place. And I just have a short time, and I really wanted to speak to the leaders today, because I really feel like that unless we catch it, then the rest of the congregation it's not going to be replicated. And I know some people have had different thoughts and things like a leader, but it's about mobilization, it's about influence. And you've been invited here today for a reason. And you need to tune in to the voice of the Holy Spirit as to why you're here. Because someone can tell you that you have potential, but it's only when the voice of the Holy Spirit tells you that you have potential do you start to rise to that potential. Father, we just invite you to come and minister through your Holy Spirit. We already know you're here. Your presence is so strong. Your peace is in this place. I ask you, God, that you will reveal what you want to reveal today, that you will bring understanding, that you will bring truth, God. We need you within our inner parts. We need the truth of your Spirit and your word, God. I ask for confirmation today of those things that people have been praying about, Lord. And today, God, we need spiritual food. And we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seats. And I'm just going to try and share a little bit from my heart as Paul and I have been placed as the regional leaders. We count it a privilege. And within that role, we really sense that God has been blessing this ministry, not only worldwide, but also in the region. People have been receiving churches, men's homes, buildings. Greater London's gone to Hackney, Acton, Hackney. Germany is expanding to the point where they have to get a new building. So they haven't even got a choice anymore. They have to get a new building. And Liverpool, they now have their men's home. They got bought a men's home. They got bought another house. And they've been bought a building. I don't know about you, but that feels like the blessing of God upon this region. And so in this time where God is blessing us, you know, there's a few things we have to be aware of and a few things that we need to be mindful of. And at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave us a scripture. He also gave it to Pastor Dave, who's our regional homes overseer. Janet can't be here today. She was traveling back from Barbados. She had her ticket booked, the pastor's wife from London. But I told her to stay back. And the reason being is I just didn't want her physically coming here for the day. She wanted to come. So I said to her, stay back and rest. You know, we can take care of this. Your women are safe with us, and we're family in this place. And so we got given a word at the beginning of the year that we have entered into a spacious place, because the Lord has delighted in us. And so we have entered into somewhere, and I don't know about you, but I can feel the spacious place. Spiritually, it feels a lot bigger. It feels, even though you may not have moved in the building necessarily, but there's space. It's like, and it feels a bit vulnerable sometimes. You're like, oh, things have changed, things have shifted. But today I want to speak to you about the things as leaders that we need to be mindful of in this blessed, spacious, fruitful land. There's a few things. I want to thank God for this amazing ministry that God has called us into. I want to thank God for the founders of this ministry. And I don't say that as a cliche. I say that because I am grateful. I'm grateful that they gave room for us to be able to come and be able to follow the Lord in the way that we have followed him. So I'm grateful for this ministry. I'm grateful for the longevity of this ministry. I mean, 50 years. 50 years of the faithfulness of God. And we follow great leaders. Great leaders with no failures. I mean, in this day and age, with the world and the way it is, and even in Christian circles, the things we hear. But we stand upon a foundation and we follow the legacy of leaders that have stood the test of time. We never said we were a perfect ministry, but we follow a perfect God. And we follow a man and woman of God that have a vision, and they have walked the right path. And we follow a tremendous path in this place. And we're running after them. I'm running after them. They're my standard. God is my standard. But here on this earth, you have people that you look to and you think, okay, well, they're my standard. If they can do it, I can do it. If they can get a building like La Puente, then we can get a building like La Puente. No limits. No limits. Here in the UK or Germany, there's no limits. If they did it, then the path is already trodden. And we're coming in. We're moving in. Not by what we see, not by what we feel, but by faith. We're coming in, church. And we're moving into the promises of what God has for this ministry. But I have to give you warning today that when God blesses you, and he's beginning to, he's blessing you with babies, he's blessing you with husbands, he's blessing you with riches, he's blessing you with churches, with many things. You had a tick box, and God is beginning to tick that box. What happens in this season is people begin to settle. And that word settle is a word called kapha, and it's a word in Greek that means small. It means curdle. It means like a dirty pond. Nothing going in and nothing going out. Because as for me, I've got what I wanted. Adios. God, in this season, it is so crucial when God brings us into the land of milk and honey. You know, if you had a diet of milk and honey, you would be so sick. And when you come into the blessed land, God is going to satisfy all your needs. But let me tell you that we cannot settle in this land. For we are called to drive out enemies. To drive out enemies. Not to marry them. Not to compromise with them. Not to join them and revel with them. But we are called to drive them out. And I tell you, when you're settling, you won't be driving nothing. You'll be joining them. And at this time, leaders, God is calling a remnant of people to rise up and take a stand in this perverse generation, in this world with all its tantalizing things pulling us to and fro. This is the time that we are called to rise as generals in this generation and look different and sound different. We're not meant to look like the world. We're not meant to sound like the world. We're meant to be different. We're meant to be set apart. We're meant to be separated. We're meant to be holy. My question to you today, have you settled? Have you settled? And there has been times in my life that I have felt like I just can't keep pushing. I'm really tired, God. I can't keep pushing. And I know there's leaders in here today that have felt like they've hit a ceiling or a wall or something where they just feel, I can't seem to push through. But I want to tell you today that you are going to push through. You are going to break through. You are going to drive those enemies back. And you are going to increase. And you are going to possess the land that God has given you. There's a few enemies in the land, and we're going to go through them. And then at the end, what we're going to do is we're going to have a little bit of time. We're not going to come and respond at an altar call, but we're actually going to discuss on our tables these enemies. And I know that if God has given me a message, it's because people have been going through this. And actually, what's interesting, long before you will ever speak a message, he will put you through it. And for the last 2 months, 3 months, I have really been going through it. And then when the Lord said to me, showed me, I want you to remember what I told you at the beginning of the year. I'm like, what? Remember the enemies in the land. So when I started studying them again, I was like, oh my gosh, I have been living it out. I am in it. I'm in it. It's real. Oh gosh. And he just realized, no, it's real. The enemies are real. I want to give you this scripture. I want to give you this scripture, and it says in Exodus 23:30, and this is the scripture for today. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. I'm going to read that again. Exodus 23:30. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. And I believe today that many of us have been going through the things we've been going through is because the Lord is driving out those enemies. And he's doing it little by little. And that affected me. Why? Why, God? I don't want you to do this little by little because it's painful and it's discouraging to see ourselves and to deal with the same things over and over and over again. Or is it just me that is fighting the enemies? And I just think, God, you could do it like that. You could just break that thing. And in many cases, he has, in many of our lives. There's been areas that he has just broken. But there are some things that he is not going to do straight away. Because he wants to use those things to bring increase from the inside to the outside. And unless you understand that, you will not understand why you're continually going through the same things. Because God is trying to increase you so you can take possession of what he has for you. See, you have to be prepared for what he has for you. Because if you're not prepared, it will crush you when you get there. Or you will crush it, whatever that may be. So he has to do something on the inside of you to enable you to be prepared for what he has for you. A few of these, the first one I want to speak to you about today, an enemy in the land, is an Amorite. Amorite is a word that comes from Amor. It means pride, publicity, self-importance, position. And the Amorites were arrogant, boastful in their speech, and always challenged everything and anyone. They were prideful. We as leaders, one of the qualities that you're going to need, no matter where you're at, as far as the process is concerned, is humility. Humility. Whenever I have my eye out, I am watching for the tests of pride. running through the leadership or the up-and-comings. It's wonderful today, this region. I think what's happened at this region is amazing. I've had a whole new leadership do this whole thing. My other leadership are having babies and things. Like Abby's about to give birth. And so I've raised up, and I'm very grateful that God has raised up a whole new leadership. And they've done amazing. And they have done amazing. And you know who you are. You know who you are. And am I proud of you all? Not a good thing to say when I'm talking about pride. But my heart swells to see you grow. But the thing we have to be very careful of is pride. And the thing is, when people, this is the one of the big tests. If I said to you now, do you have pride? Some of you may say no. Well, you would have the most pride of all. And I'll tell you that for the truth. Every one of us has pride. Because pride is a form of self-preservation. It is a protection to keep you away from me. Because if you hurt me, we have a wall. And so all of us, to a certain degree, have a type of pride to protect us. But the Lord is saying that he doesn't want us to keep people out, to be defensive, to have to feel like constantly challenging everyone, but a humility. A humility causes people to listen, causes people to say sorry, causes people to realize you don't have all the answers. All of us should be putting people around us that are gifted a lot more than we are. See, I have women around me that are tremendously gifted, and I feel good with that. I feel tremendous. Bring it on. Love it. You're gifted, more talented, you're more professional, I don't care. As long as we do this together. As long as God gets the glory, I don't mind who is there at the time. We're doing this together. And that is keeping a sense of humility. And I also want to say to you that you as leaders, us as leaders, daily, you have to test yourselves as to whether you're in pride. You know, you have to be people that are self-examining. You have to really have a look at yourself on a daily basis. And you have to be people that repent quickly. Insecurity causes people to be prideful. Causes them to have an entitlement of, well, I'm this, so. None of us are entitled. None of us. We're all called to serve. And if it ever goes beyond that, oh, sorry. It keeps falling. if we ever lose that, it's a privilege to serve one another. And I'm grateful for my water. I'm grateful that people want to help. But I actually am all right. I can do it, you know? We have to be people that do not have an entitlement. And so as leaders, we need to be people of humility. The Amorites were all about prominence and self-importance and I'm the pastor and I'm... No, we just have a role. We just have a role and that's it. And God has called us to that role. And you fulfill your role, what God has called you to do, and you do it with humility. Don't ever feel that we can put people down. In Matthew 23:12, it says, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And in Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And so we have to be people that have to be very mindful and be self-examining. The second enemy that we have to be aware of, it's a Canaanite. It's called a Canaanite spirit. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's leaders that understand financial giving. This is another quality I look at. I look at my leaders and I look at their giving. I don't look at what they give, but I look at their consistency. Why do I do that? I do that because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. I look at the consistency, I look at the heart behind it, me and Paul, because it's a value within our heart and it's a value within this ministry, we value giving. Because we know it is a spiritual principle way bigger than money. Way bigger than money. It unlocks spiritual dynamics in the heavenly realms that we don't even really understand. It unlocks protection. It unlocks favor. It unlocks blessing and provision. It unlocks many, many spiritual things. And so I have no problem speaking about money because I know the value of it. And I know it's about faith. When people say it's a money problem, I say it's a faith problem. It's never a money problem. It's a faith problem. So it's so key to your walk as a leader is your faith as in the area of your finances. And we have to be people that lead the way in those things that people don't see, in giving. And so those things are very important. It says in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God and riches. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. And I can stand in a testimony of God's faithfulness in giving. I have been giving now for 17 years. And I have been through times of nothing where we couldn't even afford to eat and put nappies on our baby. And we used to say, God, and you know, sometimes we'd open our front door and there would be shopping there. There has been times this church could not pay the bills. There has been times when Paul and I have cried together as to whether God has called us. But I want to say that even in those hard times, we never, by the grace of God, ever not paid our tithes to God. Paul's been 22 years, never missed. Doesn't matter whether we were in terrible debt and things had gone difficult, because they do. Let's be real. We have difficult times, right? But in those times, we always gave to God first. We always paid our United We Can. Why? Because we believe in this vision, in this mission, that God, if it wasn't for the mission, then we wouldn't be here today. And we wouldn't have the blessing. So we went from nothing, one little car, well, on the buses in London, one little Ford Focus to here with all our belongings. And now we're homeowners. Now we have two lovely cars. You see the blessing now. But many years ago, it wasn't like this. But I want to encourage you as leaders that be faithful in your giving. Be faithful to God. It's his field. When it leaves your hand, praise the Lord. And be faithful, integrity. Those things are so crucial for what God wants to do. He will never take you into a land if he cannot trust you. And especially with finances. And I don't have an issue talking about finances. Then the next enemy is the parasites. And this is an enemy. And they were people that were from an unwalled village. There was no boundaries to these people. They did and roamed where they wanted to roam. And I want to talk about here that as leaders, we cannot be undisciplined. You can't take a city if you can't rule yourself. You have to learn to lead yourself. What I mean by that, not just the spiritual stuff, but you need to be taking care of business. You need to be taking care of your home. You need to be taking care of your children. You need to be taking care of your finances. You need to have things in order. You need to have things in your disciplined life. Not one minute you're in the flesh, and then the next day you're all up here holier as thou. No. Every day, as a disciplined woman, the way you speak to your children. If you are asking yourself why your children speak to you the way they do, check how you're speaking to them. Because you will reap what you sow. So that doesn't just happen with people, it happens with our children. So in every area of our lives, we have to have self-control in your devotional life. We can't at this level, we shouldn't even have to talk about prayer. Honestly, prayer is like, it comes way before breakfast for me. Way before anything I do, I'm sitting with him in my hiding place, in my place with him, talking and communicating and asking. And long before anyone gets up, I'm there. Come hell or high water, I am with him. We, at this level, it shouldn't even be questionable about our devotional lives. Also, studying the Word of God. You shouldn't be going a day without studying and meditating on the Word of God. I feel it's a dying thing in churches, meditation, memory of Scripture. I've always got a Scripture that I'm sitting on, and I'm looking, and I'm turning it around, and you know, I've always got something God has given me, and I'm looking at it, and I'm studying it, and I'm meditating on it. And that's us as leaders. You need to be meditating on the Word of God, because that's what changes us. Nothing else changes us. And that's what tames the emotions. And we are emotional. You cannot be led by your emotions. We are tough. Sometimes you can react. You need to be quick to bring that cookie back. You know, if you feel yourself rising, and we all do, you need to be quick to pull that thing back and say, Father, forgive me. I'm falling short here. And you know, so as women, our lives should be speaking a story. So the parasites were not controlled. They were fleshy. They were gossipy. They were strife. There was backbiting. They were basically people that had no boundaries. They just went blah, 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 blah. Do we know people like that? You know, they open their mouth and you just feel like just sort of guarding every part of your body, like you're not quite sure what they're going to say. Don't be women like that. Let it be what comes out of your mouth. Let it be life. Let it not be strife, backbiting, gossip. We don't live there. People don't come to me about that stuff anymore. I send them on their way with a flea in their ear. I'm saying, why are you talking about this person to me? Go and speak to that person. I'm not interested in that stuff. We don't live there. That's a place of flesh. That's a place, strife and gossip and backbiting. We don't live there, ladies. And if you are living there, you need to move house. You need to move into the place of the heavenlies. You need to find him in the tabernacle where the accusing tongues, where it's gone. Because when you're in his presence and when you're in that hiding, hidden place with the Lord, all that stuff means nothing. It just goes. Whatever. I'm with him. Whatever. They can say what they want. Whatever, God. I just want to be right with you. And that's your hiding place. And then you come out, and you come out like a boss. You come out with your head held high. Come out with the glory of God on your face. And you walk like a boss. And you walk out. And all that, those negative things, they bounce off you. Like, whatever. Whatever. But don't be part of that. Here, we need to raise the standard. Here, we're the temperature. We're the leaders. As my husband always says to me, which you'll be hearing from him later, and I hate it when he says this to me. When I'm being emotional and and my voice is going high, he goes, be a leader. Oh, shut up. He went, no! I don't say that. I do in jest, but I'm like, you know, because as women, we do that. We sing song and we go through it and we process. And he cuts it out. He says, be a leader. Are you a leader or are you not? Stop being a woman. I went, excuse me. That is really wrong what you've just said. He said, well, be a leader. Stop being an emotional woman. Either lead or don't. And sit down. I'm like, okay, I'm a leader. I thank God that I'm married to a man that actually has no emotion, though. I am married to a man that is a leader, and he leads the way. So when I come with my concerns and he's like, God is with us. God is with us. Why are you going on? Either people get with the program or they don't. But we're in a spacious place, Vicky. He says, and so, you know, people get with it. They have their own choices. Let them make their choices. We provide the spiritual environment. We provide the equipping. That's it. They're responsible for the decisions that they make. I'm like, oh, yes, that's right. Thank you for that, Paul. That's really good. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Because all of a sudden, I was pecking on the floor with the chickens. So I start flying again. I'm like, okay, I'm a leader. Woo! So I come back. But we all do it. But what's really important is getting ourselves back again. You know, we're human. We have off days. We get hurt. But what it is, the quicker you can pull yourself together, that's the key as a leader. Pull it together. Get yourself right with God. Apologize where you need to apologize. And let's move on with what God has for us. So the parasites, we can't be women that are not disciplined and self-controlled. And then the next one is the gigashites. That's an unfortunate name. As I was praying about that this morning, I was thinking, I'm going to leave this one out because I just didn't like it. The gigashites. It's like, just didn't like the ring of the end of it. Sorry. But this one, but I've put it in, obviously. And this is people that are earthly. They're carnal. They were people that backslid. They were people that lived in the flesh. And they were carnal. They compromised sexually. They compromised in any way, really, they could. They married with people they shouldn't have married with. And these people, the gigashites, they compromised everything. And we need to be women that don't compromise. We can't compromise with what the Word of God says. The Word of God is unchanging. It doesn't all of a sudden become irrelevant, depending on our age, depending on where we live. The Word of God is the Word of God. And it's not changing. So it's not for one rule for one and one rule for another. I remember, actually, I'm not going to go there. So we can't be leaders. We can't compromise. In Song of Songs, it says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. What I want to say here is it's the little choices you make. It's not necessarily the big ones about salvation, marry. That, of course, we know that they're major jobs, where you live, what church you're in. Of course, I know that. But you know what I've realized in the time I've been around? It's the ones that you make very small on a daily basis that makes the changes. And we have to be women that don't compromise behind closed doors. And we have to be women that don't compromise in our hearts. Because a compromise happens in our hearts long before it happens on the outside. We can't compromise to do with money. We can't compromise to do with what we're thinking about. We can't compromise to do with cutting corners. We can't compromise in any decisions that we make. It has to be all before the Lord. Because let me tell you, just a couple of decisions off will take you completely off the right path. In the beginning, you can justify it. In the beginning, you can make it like sort of all right. We can find a scripture to meet your need. We've all done that, right? Where you've been going through something, you may not have made the right choices, and you find a scripture to justify your choices that you've made. Well, there comes a point where that doesn't cut it anymore, where you have to make choices based upon being right before Him, even when it means people are not going to like you and favor you. There's going to come times where you are going to be just you, yourself, and I, and no one's going to understand the decisions that you have made. But you have to stand and believe for Him, and God will make even your enemies at peace with you. People will slander, people will accuse, people will say things and decimate your character. But before the Lord, you stand and you allow God to fight for you. For the battle is His and not ours. And He will turn it around because He's a good father and He's a good fighter. My father's a good fighter and he contends well. He does so much better than me. And so I've learned to rest in Him. When the accusations come, when the criticisms come, I rest in my God. I rest in him, and I just think, okay, something good's ahead. And I'll share a little bit towards the end as to there's been a couple of challenges we've been facing. But I know that God has got something great. Can I have a time check from somebody that is in the know? I had 20 minutes. Okay, I'm not going to take 20 minutes, so it's fine. So let's move on. The one that I really, really want to camp on a little bit here is the Hittites. And this is the fear, and they were people that were fearful, they were discouraged, they were broken down, they were confused, and they were afraid. And I really believe in the season that many of us have been in, that there's been a lot of us that have been in this place, where there's been a sense of confusion, a sense of fear, and a sense of, actually, I will actually say it, a sense of unbelief. This is a little bit too radical. This is a bit, is it, do we really need to be so fanatical? Do I really need to be at church that much? You know, I just want to just go to church on a Sunday. One service is enough for me. And there's an element of us that because of what's been happening in our lives, it's caused fear and it's caused confusion. And actually, we can't see ahead of us, and it's caused us to try and control our environments. When I'm going through it, I clean. I clean every corner with a baby wipe. I get a baby wipe, and I go on my hands and knees, and I clean, and I clean, and I clean. Why? Because it's the only thing I can control. I've worked it out. It's only taken me years to work out when Vicky's going through it, why does she clean? Because it's the only thing I can control. Everything else is out of my control. And as women, that's a very difficult thing and a place to be, because actually we're very controlling. We like to know what's going on. We like to know the order of it. We like to know what's ahead, what's behind, to the right, to the left. And we are really clear on everything. And all of a sudden, the hurricane comes where God turns the whole thing upside down. And here we are. It didn't work out the way we thought it would. Things have happened that completely knocked us off our usual track. And we are feeling confused and messed up. Or has that just been me? Okay, I just need to know I am in the right place, right? There has been a season that we have been through as a church, and the Lord said that this is an area that you need to camp on for a little bit. Vicky's not here today, but many of you know that 2 months ago, we lost John Macquarie. And John Macquarie represented a lot of staff in the sense he was our second graduate ever. He was confident of me and Paul. He was someone we could bounce off. He was, he had a heart of gold. He was a great guy. He supported people's children's fees to go to school. He did things behind the scenes that only God knows what this guy did. And we know John was a big guy. And of course, you know, there are elements of it, but nothing can ever prepare you for something that you thought would never happen. And what happens when the Lord took him? Obviously, he left his widow, his wife, who's 33 or something, and it shook the very foundations and the core of our ministry here in Victory Outreach. And of course, we know people die all the time, but we weren't ready for it. We weren't prepared for it. He went in for a small procedure, and he didn't come out again. And it represented not just John dying, but it undercovered something that I think all of us fear, is that you don't actually know what's going to happen. And it made me want to grab my children. It made me want to grab Paul. It made me just want to... I was so scared. You know what I did? And I started to push Paul away because I thought, I better prepare myself for loss, because the fact of the matter is inevitable, and I'm not going to deal with the pain. So I'm starting to, I need to push these people away. This is too much. And it sounds crazy. But what it turned up is that when we can't control something, we tend to just lock down. And as the months have gone on, and Vicky is, please pray for Vicky, and she's going through a journey, and you know, and just, but it wasn't just that, it opened a barrage of the enemy. And he literally just used that. He didn't cause it. You know, that's questionable. God is sovereign. But it opened a barrage of things. And the enemy just seemed to do like a domino effect. He just started to crash. And it felt like that it didn't stop. It went on where the bank seized our accounts. And for 10 weeks, we had no money to pay anyone. We had no money to pay the mortgages. And I mean, they're just circumstantial. I mean, we all have our circumstances, right, that we're dealing with. But it caused something. It caused me to fear. It caused me to become discouraged. It caused me to question stuff, and it shook me. I have to be honest with you. And I share this with you not just to be vulnerable in the sense of, so you can see me crying. I don't come up here to try and do that. I'm sharing because I know the enemy has tried to bring stuff in your lives. This is my life and our life, but he brings it, and to cause discouragement, to cause fear, and to cause you to pull back, cause you to say, you know what? Let's just calm down a bit here. Let's not fully believe completely. Let's not completely go there. Let's just come back a bit. You know, calm down, everybody. Let's calm down. It's all a bit too much, this stuff. You know, and we pull back, and then the enemy, he has us. He has us in a place. And we turn up to church and we do what we need to do, and things happen, and we still do what we need to do because we're leaders, right? We know how to do that. We're good at that. We turn up, we lift our hands, we say the right things, we do all that, but our hearts sometimes can be far. And I just want to say to you today that just like the Lord has done with me, is he has taken me on a journey of just saying again to God, okay, we can do this. I'm going to believe you for everything, regardless of the outcome. That's your responsibility. But I'm going to believe you for everything that you said you were going to do. And I've taken a stance again. I've taken a stance, and I've opened my heart, and I've embraced everything that God has got for me, and everything that entails, even through the fears, even through the all of it. We only have today, and I want to fully live, and I want to fully love, and I don't want to hold back through fear. And today, I really sense that God is causing us to get back in the fight, get back in that place, and allow that discouragement to be lifted from us. And some of those enemies that we have been facing, that we have to trust that God is driving them out. And as God is driving them out, he is bringing increase within us. And just lastly, I'm going to miss a few of them. The Hivites, which comes from when you have been hit, you've been discouraged, you've been hurt. This enemy then comes in. This enemy is small village mentality. They were people that were living in a small encampment, and it was just us and them. And one of the things you have to be aware of is we can't be in that village mentality. There's two types of mindset. There's a fixed mindset and there's a growth mindset. You may have heard it. And the growth mindset is that you allow yourself to be challenged, you challenge yourself, you're open to learn, you're open outside your culture, outside your status, outside your friendships, outside of familiar. You put yourself in difficult situations to flourish, to grow, but a fixed mindset refuses to come out of what they're used to. They refuse to stay in a room with someone that they don't know. They refuse to go somewhere without someone coming with them. They refuse to go anywhere that challenges who they are. And we have to be careful that in this season, that we don't get a fixed mindset, but we have to have a growth mindset, one that is open to the fullness of what God can do. Because if you're not open, then he can't bring you into arenas that he wants to bring you into. And then you are going to be brought into arenas that are going to blow your mind. Your gift is going to take you into arenas that's going to blow your mind. But only if you allow God to do that in you. If we stand in this place today. And then the last enemy is the Jebusites. And this is where we're going to close with this. The Jebusite was a time of testing. It was a Jebusites was a threshing time. The worship team can come up. It's a threshing time, a time where things are separated, a things where in those days they used to tread with their feet. It's a time of crushing. It's a time where things are separated, divorced from your life. And I'm not talking about marriages. I'm talking about when the Bible talks about driving them out. It is the word divorce. It means the same thing. That there is a reason and a testing and a time that all of us have been through where God is separating you from stuff that he does not want you married to anymore. He's driving you out. He's divorcing you from things. In those times, the Lord spoke to the Israelites and he said, do not marry the people in the land. Do not have any graven images. But they disobeyed and they married the people in the land. They married the enemies. And hence why we have many of the problems we do today. It's because we people did things in disobedience to God. That's why Islam is here today, because of Abraham sleeping with the maidservant. That's why we have the consequences we do today. So your decisions of who, not necessarily you marry, I'm not talking about husbands, I'm talking about your passions and your desires of who you're cleaving to, what you're cleaving to, what is your God? Who is your God? Because he's taken us through a testing time where he's separating us. He's shaking things. And there is a decision and a crossroads that we have to make as women of God, that we are going to go all the way with him. No compromise, no retreat, no dishonesty. And we're on that threshing floor, many of us. But the wind of his spirit is about to blow the husks away. Those things that represented your old nature that don't need to be there anymore. He is about to blow. He is about to blow those old things away. And what is going to be left? What's going to be standing? Oh, women of character, women of durability, women of consistency, women of faith, women of honesty, women of integrity, women that will stand in the midst of affliction. When the enemy comes in like a flood, they know their God. And they stand and they know that God will turn it around. And if it's not turned yet and it's not good yet, then you stay in the time of the testing and you look the eye in the storm. You stay in the middle of the eye of the storm, in that hiding place. And you say, God, contend with those that contend with me. say, children belong to you. This church, this region, my health, Janet's health, our health belongs to you, Jesus. Oh, and in that eye of the storm, in that hiding place, oh, no one can touch you there. Lift your hands today.
From the inside.
something slightly different for the last 10 minutes. And sometimes we just, you know, we're an awkward bunch, really, aren't we? Humans are awkward. But what I want you to do is I want you to get in pairs or threes. And I want you to communicate what your enemy is that you've been facing. And I want you to pray for one another, because I know there's so much power when we pray for one another. And I know it's awkward, and we're like, I don't want to do that. I want to come to the front and ignore everyone and just do that. That's what I want to do. Why do you have to say that? Well, I have to say that because I know the power in it. And so sometimes you have to go beyond your flesh, and you need to grab somebody to your left or to your right. And if you have to be in threes and fours, I'm really not bothered about that. What I'm bothered about is we pray for one another. We pray and we understand that we're all in this together, and we all go through stuff together, and we may not know it because we don't see each other all the time, but all of us are going through stuff, and we just learn how to do it. We learn how to pray for one another, and we're here for one another. So please, as the worship team sing, would you get into twos or threes? And I want you to spend the next 10 minutes, first of all, communicating what your enemy has been, or enemies. I've shared my heart. I want you to share your heart. And then I want you to pray for one another. And God is going to release healing and power in this place as you do that.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.